everyone on this beautiful and gorgeous June Sunday, which is also Indigenous Sunday. I really love Indigenous Sunday with all the colors, the joy, the drumming. Rhonda put my drum on display. She knows I would just be at it all day instead. But I just wanted to hearken back to a time when it wasn't always like this. Since most of you here at St. Helens are pretty savvy on Indigenous issues and concerns and events, I thought for this Sunday I would tell the story of how I became Indigenous. So my dad was in the Army. And if any of you have family that are in the Army, you know you were raised everywhere. My dad used to say, like a toilet seat, but I wouldn't say that. Anyhow, so I was born in Chilliwack, BC, and when I was born, I had baby jaundice. And in those days, because I'm very old, 76 this week, when my father first saw me, when they brought out this orange baby or yellow baby with black hair, he says, "Take it back. That's not my baby. That's a Chinese baby." But anyhow, he finally grew to accept that I really was his daughter. And actually, I ended up in life being his pet daughter, of course. Don't we all, eh? So anyhow, back to Indigenous Sunday. I just love Indigenous Sunday with all the colors, the joys, the drumming. And as I mentioned, this is now the story of how I became Indigenous. I wasn't Indigenous when I was in school. I was teased a lot. My maiden name was Swafield, and I was called Squawfield, which, as you know, is quite an insult. But typical kids, you just move on from that. And then I went to McDonald College and became a teacher and ended up in teaching grade 7 in Noranda, Quebec. I had applied for jobs at an Air Force base first in Bagotville, thinking dreams of marrying a lieutenant or something like that, but not to be. So I got a phone call from a person in Noranda that said, "Would you like a job?" And I said, "Absolutely." And I got up to the phone and I said to my dad, "Where's Noranda?" And so after a long train trip up from Quebec City, I ended up teaching grade 7. And my first class not only were filled with students from the local town of Noranda, but there were Cree children that had been flown in from Eastern Hudson Bay Coast, as there was no grades higher in their school at that time. And so I had in my grade 7 class, it was half Cree students and half local townsfolk. So it was a very strange environment, not only for me, but as well as the students. And in addition from that, I could look out my classroom window and I could see them dumping the slag from the mine. And I would be standing there like, "What is that?" And the kids would be, "Miss Swafield, would you please give us the next spelling word?" anyhow, such is life. Now, I had an interesting class in teaching grade 7 because in my class, half of them were from the local Noranda town and the other half were Cree student from Eastern James Bay. And so because they were boarding with families, at that time there was no high school. And for those of you who heard Hattie's presentation, they now have great high schools up there. But at that time they had to be flown down. And in a very strange environment, you know, Noranda is a mining town, it's different, here they are out of their community. So it must have been very alienating for them, as well as for myself, but we didn't know that word then. It's sort of an understanding that we came to a little bit later. And as I mentioned, from my class, it was so weird. I could look and see them dumping slag. And it was so firing. I'd be like, what on earth is that? And the class would say, Miss Wafil, would you please give us the next word again? Now, with the Cree students, because they were boarding with families in town, they often hung around after school, so I got to know them quite well, especially the girls, as we did extra craft with Mrs. Justice, their home economics teacher, and most of the boys did sports at that time. And everyone was quite congenial. We all got along quite well. Their reading level was not as strong as the rest of the class, but we spent a lot of time on reading games to get people to move ahead. But then one day, a dentist came to the school and said he was there to fix the teeth for the Cree children, as they had no or very limited dental services in their community. So he set up a portable dental chair in the art room across from the hall from my classroom, as it had a sink. And then he said, okay, I'll take the first student. And little Janie Jacob was nearest the door, so he took her into his room, into the room to give her some dental care. And when she came back, she was a very pale green color, and blood was seeping from her mouth. He had taken 7 teeth out of her mouth all at once. I had another student immediately take her to the nurse, and I got the principal. And I told Mr. James I was not letting him touch another kid in my class. That was it. And to get rid of him. And Mr. James fully agreed with what I said. So, of course, every action has a reaction. 2 days later, two officials came up from Indian Northern Affairs to investigate why I had refused their dental care program. I told them that I was acting in loco parentis and asked why the Cree kids could not just go to the dentist in town like all the other kids. That makes sense, right? No. Oh boy, did we have an argument. 2 days again later, more senior INAC officials came up for a visit, and at this time, I had time to brief the principal on what was going on, and all of us refused to let them touch the children. And we kept on saying, there are dentists in this town. Let the children go there like the other students. It will make them feel like part of the class and not be different. So we had a good exchange on this, but at the end we won. But as he was leaving, one of the INAC officials said, you women from Caughnawaga, you're all alike. And I said, no, I'm not from Caughnawaga. It's now called Ganasatagi, and it's a Mohawk community near Montreal, for those of you who are familiar with Quebec. I said, I'm just concerned for the kids. And since we had refused their dentists, and they were tired of coming up and trying to argue with us, they finally agreed to let the Cree kids go to the local dentist in Noranda. When I decided to write this, I said, I just got to look it up. How is dental care with Indian and Northern Affairs these days? So I looked up dental care, and I read that everywhere it is done by dentists hired from the whatever Indian and Northern Affairs is now called, INAC. They said, this is the situation in every area except a region in Abitibi, where Noranda was, where the children go to local dentists. So, score one for Audrey. Anyhow, getting back to the original time, back in 1970, where the story originally started from. And the next summer, I happened to be back in Montreal visiting my grandparents. I decided to tell my story to my grandfather and what had happened the year before. And he said, just a minute, Audrey, don't say another word. Let's just go for a chat in the garden. I said, okay, that's fine. So we went out in the garden, he said. Well, you know, you actually probably do have some Cree and possibly other indigenous ancestry from earlier generations of our family as they work for the Hudson Bay Company. But he made me swear not to tell my grandmother. He said he had spent months trying to argue with her when he went to Scotland looking for a bride that he was going, that they were going to live in Canada and it was okay, it wasn't all heathens, and he certainly wasn't going to say that he wasn't all white. So we said, yeah, there is truth to the story, but don't tell your grandmother. So when Rhonda asked me to share some words with you this morning, I thought, you know, the folks at St. Helens are very savvy. They've had lots of information on Indigenous people. What can I tell them that's new? And maybe just a little bit more about myself so they'll know why I'm so bizarre. So, so that's it. So now it is up to you to go out and enjoy your Indigenous Day. And remember, we are all Indigenous to Mother Earth, and God loves us. Amen.